Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. You're listening to the Leadership Focus, an internet radio show geared to everyday leadership, both at work and throughout your life. Each week, we present you with new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. I'm your host, Lisa Pasbjorg, Executive Coach and CEO of Focus Coaching, a leadership coaching and training firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And tonight our topic is how ordinary people become inspired leaders. And our guests tonight are Julie Stotler and Lisa Pitts. Julie and Lisa, along with their husbands Doug Stotler and Jeff Pitts, are the co-founders of the Kite Network, a relatively new nonprofit organization based here in Ann Arbor. I've invited them here tonight to share a little with us about their individual journeys and what led them to take leadership roles in making the Kite Network a reality. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, thank
you. Hi, Julie. Hi, Lisa. Great to have you here. So, Lisa, I know you are in medical sales and Jeff is a banker. Julie, tell me about your professional background and Doug's.
Well, my initial profession is as a doctor of veterinary medicine. I'm an Ohio State grad from 1987.
All right.
And my husband, Doug, has been with Conway, which is a trucking and logistics company.
Yes.
He's been with them since 1983, and he currently serves as their CEO.
So you're a diverse foursome of founders.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And it sounds like none of you, correct me if I'm wrong here, have a background in counseling or social work or psychology, something like that. Is that true?
This is very true.
Very correct,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's pretty unique. So tell me the story. Tell me the story. I know a little bit about it from Jeff, but tell me the story of each of you and how you got into this and then how the Kite Network sprung up.
Well, our daughter Lauren was killed in March of 2000 here in Dexter. She was the little girl who was run over by the school bus driver.
Oh.
And we obviously our lives were turned upside down, and we struggled to find our way. We had great help along our way. We were actually very fortunate and blessed to have a wonderful family therapist who helped us. But one of the things I recognized was that it really would have helped me to have had someone who had a similar loss experience to talk to, because during that time you're searching, you're so confused and so searching. And as far as going to a group support system, I used to say that I couldn't have gotten Doug to go to a group if I'd hog-tied him and dragged him behind the car.
Yeah.
So I knew that this kind of service needed to be present, and I was very drawn to be able to help people once I got through the thick of the hell and could see back and say, gosh, if I had only had someone else to speak to through this, I knew it would have been a valuable experience. And so I actually started to meet moms, other moms who had lost children, and was honored to be able to talk with them and sit with them and discuss our losses and compare notes. And I met Lisa shortly after she and Jeff lost their son, Brandon. We were introduced by a mutual friend. And I'll let Lisa take that from there.
Okay.
About
thank
that
you.
Introduction.
Yeah, thank you.
So my husband and I, Jeff, lost our 2-year-old son, Brandon, very suddenly to an upper respiratory virus. Very sudden, very unexpected. So early on, I received a phone call from our friend that informed me that there was somebody that wanted to come and meet me, and would I be open to it? And at that point, I was looking for whatever support and help I could find. So I was so appreciative that Julie was taking an interest in me. And so upon her showing up at my doorstep with two white roses, that was the start of our relationship, which ended up giving me more than I could have ever hoped for. I cherished my time with her because early on I was so lost and in such a dark place that just the time that I spent with her was something that I looked forward to, and really it meant everything to me because I felt like she was somebody that I could identify with, that had experienced what I was going through, and there's not a lot of people, you know, in my life that have experienced this type of loss, and so I was searching that out, and the fact that she showed up at my doorstep was truly a blessing.
I hear that. I love the two white roses, too, Julie. Oh. Sweet gesture.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful moment.
Nice symbol, yeah. I'm sorry to put you through, both of you, through talking about this again. I know it's really painful.
You know, one of the things we always say is to never hesitate to ask and bring up the loved one or the story because we always want to talk about it. And if we tear up, it's never you who is causing us to tear up. It's merely the pain. But we always, always, always want to share our stories. We always want to share our children.
Well, thanks for the apology.
Thank
you for being so generous with your story and with yourselves.
Absolutely.
So how did this transpire, this meeting of the two of you, turn into the Kite Network? How did it evolve from there?
Well, my husband and I were transferred out to California with his job position. And I started to look for, I actually was on a business trip with another group of Conway people. One of the wives said to me, gosh, you need to start a grief support system in the Bay Area like they have up in Portland, Oregon with Dougie's Place. And I said, I do? And she said, oh, absolutely, you need to start this. And I said, oh, okay. And so I went back home and I looked up grief support in the Bay Area out in San Francisco area. And there were about 30 grief support networks in the Bay Area. So I said, well, I guess I don't have to start it out here. But the one that really came up strong on my GoogleNet search was an organization called CARA. And what CARA does out in Palo Alto is exactly what we do with Kite Network, which is try to match similar loss to similar loss in a peer-to-peer counseling situation. So I looked into becoming a counselor for CARA, and then shortly after I looked into that, my husband actually gave me the news that we would be moving back to Ann Arbor. So I called Lisa and I said, hey, I'm coming home. What do you think about starting this kind of an organization? And she said, let's do it.
I'm all in.
Mm-hmm. So that's cool. That was the impetus right there.
So how long ago was that?
Well, I started working on it in, we were returned to Ann Arbor in May of 2008, and that's when the footwork began. And then we were an official organization as of August of 2010.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, I think I sat next to Jeff, and he started talking to me about celebrating finally getting the 501c3 status.
Yeah, that was...
And, you know, having run nonprofits, I know what a huge deal that is. And then, you know, one thing led to another, and we were talking. And in my former life, before I did all this executive coaching stuff, especially with healthcare, I was a therapist and clinical director of big outpatient clinics with many other therapists. And, you know, grief and loss was not unknown to me. And, you know, we just started talking about his experience. And I remember saying to him, he said something like, well, other people have losses too. Because I said, oh, I'm so sorry. And, oh, that's heartbreaking. And we were talking, and he said, well, other people have losses too. And, you know, they lose parents. And I just looked at him and I said, Jeff, you know, those are big losses. And there's nothing like losing a child. You know, I said, trust me. After 20 years of working with grief and loss, it's just really, really, there's nothing like it. And it's so cool that the two of you and really the four of you have been able to take that and have it blossom into something so good and so valuable to other people.
It's such a blessing and an honor to be able to help other people when they're so far into that pit that opens during the time of loss. Yeah. And it's so helpful for our counselors to help people who are fresh in loss. So it's a total win-win situation. I think once you've experienced a significant loss, you continually heal throughout the rest of your lifetime. And this is, becoming a counselor is a powerful, powerful way to continue your healing and to continue your insights into who you are and why we're here.
So tell me more about the Kite Network. Tell me about, first of all, I guess the question that many people would ask would be, how is it different than, you know, hospice services and grief support groups and therapy? You know, how do you see it as different and unique?
Well, as far as what's currently out there, I know when I was early on in my grief, I was looking to find answers from wherever I could find it. So the majority of the support that's out there, hospice, compassionate friends, what's available with churches and things like that, is basically group support. And what we offer at the Kite Network is one-on-one support that matches somebody fresh in their grief with somebody that's actually further along. So not only do we offer that one-on-one, but it's with somebody that's had their own journey and is just, you know, progressed further and can now turn back to help the person that's fresh in their grief. And there's really nothing in this community that offers that one-on-one customized support.
And it's truly, too, it's an adjunct, because you're going to get people, all support is valued and valuable. And you get so much, many people get a lot out of a group setting. And we get people who are currently in group and come to us, and we match that person with a peer. We have people who are in therapy who come to us, and we will match with a peer. We have a strong screening system by our Kite Network therapist who makes sure that we are a good fit for peer support, or the potential client is a good fit for peer support, because our first and foremost desire is to do no harm. We only want to help, and if people come to us with burdens that are heavier than we can address with simply with peer support, then we always refer to professional counseling.
Yeah, that's good. I love your all support is good support. Reminds me, years ago when I worked in hospital social work, I had a then boss who would get mad at me when I would bring in pastoral care. And I would say to her, you know, these are people of faith. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it to them. They thought it would be helpful. It can only help us. But somehow she felt like it was taking away from what the social work department was doing, was to have pastoral care in there. And I thought, you know, the more the better, if it helps these people in their healing and helps mm-hmm. them to feel comforted, why wouldn't we bring in all the resources that might help them?
Exactly.
So that's a nice way to work.
Yeah, nice, exactly.
Well, I'm thinking, Julie, of your comment earlier about Doug. What I know about men, is that it's really hard to get men to ask for help or to go for help to start
mm-hmm.
with, because, you know, in our society we tell men that they're supposed to not need help and and they are supposed to be strong at all times, and they kind of carry that. Women are in a much better place when they need help to ask for help than men are, and to go to group for men is even harder than to go and be vulnerable and let someone know that you need help and can't do it yourself. And then just people in general, if you can get them to go to the group maybe 3 times, they might get comfortable enough to join it. But it's hard to take something that's really raw and bring it to this unknown group of people. It's just
right.
Scary. Yeah.
And men and women also have totally different grieving patterns. We actually address that during our training for our counselors. So not only have they been socialized, obviously, they're wired. Everyone's wired differently. So that's the other bonus, I think, to what we're trying to do, which is we can, you know, we have men counselors who can help other men. But our men are also comfortable talking to women, and vice versa. We have women who are comfortable talking with men. So we just try to match people by loss, and we try to match personality as well.
Well, I would guess too that your men counselors can help inform other men about how women and men grieve differently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, I've seen so many marriages not survive a big, big loss like that, because men are busy doing that denial thing that they're in distractions so good at, and women are going, "What's wrong with you?" You know, I'm
That's
living
true.
This every second, and how can mm-hmm. you be doing that? And it can really push them apart.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't understand it's not that they don't care, or it's not that they've forgotten, it's that it's just very different. Or it's not that they don't want to get over it, it's just not something that they can just sort of snap their fingers and switch gears on.
Right. So, we're also really careful about ever saying getting over grief. We always say we acclimate to it, because of course you don't get over grief. You don't get over death like you don't get over birth. So
yeah.
You never stop missing the person who's passed, but you can acclimate, and that's what our goal is. So the goal, you know, we always talk about what we're doing seems so heavy, but our point to it is to help people get to that other side where they're engaged in their life again, and they see the hope, and they see the future, and they can laugh again, and they can laugh honestly, not that escape laugh, but an honest, "Oh my gosh, I'm enjoying my life again" laugh.
And it's okay to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's
Go ahead. I always think of grief as like peeling in layers,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you get more meaning from it as it goes along, and it assimilates in different ways. And then every now and then, you know, something just touches you, and you know, there's a surprise, kind of an unexpected thing. But you're right, it never goes
away.
You don't get over
The other thing we always like to say is that, is, you know, as wise as all of our counselors can tell you they've become through this loss, every one of them would trade it for a second. We'd trade it in a second just to have them back.
Yeah.
But we're not given that choice.
Well, I think having peer counselors who are farther along on the journey has got to be really empowering and hope-giving to people that are fresh, because they can see that somehow I can get to that place. And it's a
mm-hmm.
possibility in ways that probably no one else can tell them in such a meaningful way. So tell me what services the Kite Network provides, and to whom, who's the population that you serve?
Well, we currently are serving the population in the Ann Arbor area, Washtenaw County, and in surrounding counties as we go. As we continue to develop our counselor base, we'll be able to serve more clients in a more larger net. And the people who we serve are anybody, any adult, who is experiencing a fresh loss. So we cover any loss, and including, especially or certainly including, losses that society frequently denies. So loss of a fetus, loss of pet, loss of partner, loss of a friend. You know, it's very easy for people to feel mortified and sorrowful when they know someone who's lost a child or know someone who's lost a spouse. And of course, those are the griefs that get all the attention, so to speak. But there are so many losses out there that are, quite frankly, ignored or dismissed, and which are just as important to the person who's experiencing. So our hope is to spread our net and offer support even to those losses that aren't recognized or aren't societally acceptable, even if we might say that, because no one should walk alone through loss. No one should walk alone. It's not acceptable. So that's our hope. That's our hope, is that we can develop our counselor base to cover any loss that comes our way.
Yeah, and there are many losses like that that society just, you know, says to people, well, why are you making such a big deal out of it?
Mm-hmm. Very dismissive, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And it's lonely enough without being dismissed on top of it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the best things that you can think of that the Kite Network has to offer to people in the community?
I guess recovery, grief recovery.
And I think hope,
mm-hmm.
and light. I know that was something that I didn't know would be possible early on in grief, but seeing Julie, she represented that to me, and that meant everything, because there was nothing else that I could foresee in my future that brought what she brought to me. So just the fact that you can experience love and happiness and joy again, that's what the Kite Network can offer.
Yes, our tagline is lift, love, live.
I know.
So, yeah.
Very nice.
Bring you back. Thank you.
Well, Lisa, I can hear that in your voice every time you talk about Julie, you know, the love and the hope.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's clear to me you two are bonded for life now.
Yeah, it was pretty instant, and I think, again,
yeah,
just having that person that has walked that walk and has survived it,
yeah,
is just so valuable.
Now, Julie, you also spoke about volunteers and how healing and helpful it could be to them.
Oh, truly. So, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons I was drawn to be able to help other people, is because I sensed how healing it could be. And that's what we are finding with our counselors, that they report this great sense of well-being to be able to help somebody else, to turn and be able to reach your hand out and say, here, take my hand. We're going to get through this.
Also to honor the loss, I think, is also key.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of person, I mean, it sounds like you need volunteers, is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What kind of person would be a good fit for this program as a volunteer?
Well, we're always looking for people who have experienced loss and who have acclimated to that loss and who feel called to do this kind of work. So it's a commitment. We asked our volunteers to commit for 12 months after they've been initially trained. We asked that they come back for continuing education twice a month, and during that time we both do a continuing education portion and we do a kind of a counselor roundabout so that we can discuss what people are seeing with their clients and what their concerns are. And also to keep those counselors above water, because when you are talking to a client, your grief will become fresh again, and we don't want our counselors to get lost in their grief again. So we very much support them in these counselor meetings. The initial training session is about 10 hours, and we've done that on a Thursday and a Saturday. We get the first chunk of training out of the way, and then we have, like I said, the continuing education pieces, which are an hour and a half twice a month, so that we can keep people fresh and aware and current. So we need people who have a little bit of time to offer and who feel called to and drawn to be able to help other people out. Everything is free. We don't charge anything for this service. And I can tell you that the counselors that we have grouped together thus far have been the finest people I have ever been honored to know. These people get it in spades, and it's a rewarding group. It really, really is. So we would love to have others join us and contact us.
Our website we can give you, Lisa, is thekitenetwork.org. And there's a lot of information on there.
If people go to the description of our show, too, on either Blog Talk Network or on my website on What's New, there's a link to yours.
Great,
well.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, they can get to that. And also on your website, I noticed you had a really nice handy-dandy do's and don'ts for people. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think a lot of people would love to just, you know, print that out and have that.
We do have a nice, concise things to say and not to say when you know of someone who's fresh in grief. So some for instances of not to say is you never say, oh, well, don't worry, you can always have another, or well, at least she's out of pain now, or anything that sounds like you're diminishing what they are experiencing, what the griever is experiencing. And the do's are, you know, always let your concern show through, and always be willing to say, what can I do for you? And when the person says, I have no idea, say, okay.
And just that I care, too, you know, I mean, it's... But so many people don't know what to say, so that's a nice little handy-dandy list of things that one can refer to when they're searching for the right words.
I liked it a lot. I think a lot of people would find that helpful. And again, that's the kitenetwork.org, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. The thing I like to tell people when they say, what can I do, and the person says, oh, I don't know, is, or instead of saying, let me know if there's anything I can do to help, is to begin offering suggestions. Like, you know, could I fetch meals for you? Could I watch your younger son? You know? Could I, could I run some errands for you? Could I, you know, could, do you want me to just sit and pray with you? You know, and then the person knows that you're really serious as opposed to you're just saying, you know, let me know if there's anything I can do to help. But if you call me and say, could you do this for me, I'll go, well, you know, I'm kind of busy. you're pitching ideas that you're willing to do because they're much more likely to take you up on it.
Right. And frequently they can't think on their feet. They have no idea what they're going to need. They can't see it. They're stuck.
Right. Well, we're just about done here. Can you really quickly, in just a few words, each of you give me what you'd like the takeaway to be for our listeners?
I guess just that the Kite Network is an organization that is here in the community to help those that are in need, that have experienced a loss that they don't feel that they can get through on their own. And these people are trained, we understand, we've been there, and we care, and we want to help.
And the impetus behind it is mother love. So I know of nothing stronger. So we're here to stay, and we're here to help.
Wonderful. Well, with that, thank you both.
Thank you, Lisa.
Great to have you here tonight.
Thank you so much. Thanks for this opportunity.
And thank you for joining us tonight on the Leadership Focus, the show which gives you new ideas, interesting guests, actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader in a more balanced life. I hope that you've enjoyed the show. If you have, please go to blogtalkradio.com and become a friend and make us a favorite. To sign up for a free newsletter with more tips and strategies, you can go to focuscoaching.net on the web. Until next time, this is your host, Lisa Pasbjorg, urging you to be a better leader every day.